Our text is from the Old Testament, Exodus chapter 20, verse 1 through 3. From the Pew Bibles, in page number is 77, it's indicated that. 77. Let's pray before we go to the Word of God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for having us time to think about your Word, to listen to your Holy Word. We just pray that as the Holy Spirit empowered your disciples, the disciples of Jesus Christ, we pray that Holy Spirit, please come to us and open our hearts and empower our hearts so that we will live in this world as your disciples and your children, not affected by the world, but we will change with the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for teaching us about that from the Scriptures. We pray your Son in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. This is the Word of God, Exodus chapter 20, verse 1 through 3. And God spoke all these words and saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. Only three verses. When I was in middle school, which is, I guess, unknown years, then everyone in my school, I'm talking about in South Korea, so you imagine that James Kim is from South Korea, and everyone in my school wanted to have a pair of Nike shoes. Can you imagine? They were so popular at the time and very expensive. I don't know why, but if we saw our friends and somebody were wearing those Nike shoes, and we just praised them. We just praised them and we say, oh, you look gorgeous today. You walk like an angel today. Wow, nice. It's beautiful. And in last words, can I touch it? Can I touch them? You know, compared to the 21st century young people, our generation here, it was like having a brand new iPhone or smartphones, something that not everybody has. Maybe for us grown-ups, it was like having brand new cars or something very expensive and clothing and jewelry. And anyway, people became cool and gorgeous if they wore a pair of Nike shoes when I was a young boy. However, unfortunately, not every kid in the city and town and school was able to have Nike shoes because those were so expensive, incredibly expensive. Made in USA, that's so expensive. The regular price was, I remember that, around $15 at the time, $15. Well, it was a 30 years, something years ago, so could have been more than maybe $200 right now. Anyway, because they were so expensive, we were not able to have them, or those Nike shoes at all, just looking at that. Wow, fancy, looking good. But all of a sudden, something happened. Many of the kids in the school began to wear those expensive shoes, almost everybody. I was not an exception. I wanted to be gorgeous and cool-looking guy. So I wore those shoes like other kids. Was I rich? A lot of money? That's why I got the Nike shoes? No, not at all. Unfortunately, my mother didn't want to use her money to buy me those expensive shoes at the time. I'm not blaming my mom, but she didn't buy me. Then how did I get my lovely Nike shoes? Here is a story. I and my friends got the fake Nike shoes from a local shoe store. It's a bunch of them there, really cheap. Even the name of the shoes was not Nike at all. It was Nice. One letter different, Nice. Smart, isn't it? Same logo, but it says Nice. Only one letter was different, and almost everything was the same in color and everything as the genuine Nike shoes. It was so popular, so everyone wore those Nice shoes all the time at that time. However, although we loved our Nice shoes, there was one minor problem. We know the truth that we could not deny. Nike shoes always won. Yes. Although we wore those fake Nike shoes, we were not proud of ourselves. If we saw a person who wore the genuine Nike shoes coming toward us, we feel like, oh, shame. We pretended to be cool. What's up? And yo, we are cool people. But yet we were not cool anymore if we saw the genuine Nike shoes around us. Now it seemed the Israelites had the same problem. Over 400 years, they were exposed to many false gods in Egypt. According to historians, the Egyptians worshipped at least 2,000 gods. 2,000 gods at the time. Did the Israelites worship those idols while they were in Egypt? Well, there was no clear indication in the Bible that the Israelites worshipped all those 2,000 gods. Yet one thing is sure, some of them actually worshipped idols. For 400 years, the faith of the Israelites was completely challenged by those fake gods. Idolatries. Probably the Israelites might have doubted the existence of God at that time. They might have murmured, it's not fair. We've been here for so many years, hundred years. God is so quiet. So many years. Where is God now? Yeah, maybe we worship this God. Maybe they are better. They might have attempted to worship other idols and gods because it seemed their God, the Lord, was so quiet. Felt God was a million miles away every day, untouchable. And at the same time, upon entering Canaan in the history, the Israelites were ready to meet with residents serving Baal and other gods in there. So they are facing all kinds of fake gods in their lives. It was certain for the Israelites that delivery from the Egyptian was really good news. That's what the Bible says today. God is the one who delivered and saved them. But yet the story didn't end here. They had to be ready to face other challenges, temptations every day as they continued to move on, move toward the promised land. That's our lives. Every day we continue to go and move toward God. Life is really challenging. As the people of God, we must keep our faith. As people of God, the Israelites, they had to keep their faith in God all the time, who delivered them from the Egyptians, the enemies. And they knew they had to only worship God, nothing else, only genuine God, true God. That's why God set a strong faith foundation in Exodus chapter 20, verse 2, to remind them who God is. That's our text. God says, I'm reading from the NIV. I am the Lord your God. Remember who I am. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt. I did it, not you, out of the land of slavery. Simply, God wanted them to remember, to remember who saved them. God saved, God delivered all the people. Therefore, remembering and trusting God was their foundation. Very simple. And after talking about their foundation of faith, God is the one who delivered them. God-centered life is your lifestyle. Now God is teaching them how to build their faith in verse 3, which is the first commandment. You shall have no other gods before me. Exodus 20, verse 3. No other gods. Think about that. Well, it seemed like a very easy task. Yeah, I can do that. But unfortunately, it wasn't. Yes, the Israelites tried their best to keep their faith in God. God only, no other gods, no other gods. However, if we carefully read the book of the Exodus and other parts of the Bible, Old Testament, we see that the Israelites were always continually poisoned by many other neighboring cultures and gods, changing their minds. Actually, they worshipped many false gods. So regarding these numerous other deities and false gods, the Lord gave them very strong, the strongest commandment. You shall have no other god before me. God doesn't want the Israelites to share their hearts with idols. No other gods, but the true God. No fake gods, but genuine, the true God. But we know that it wasn't an easy task for them. And it is not easy for us. It's not easy for us either. Are we sometimes sharing our hearts with something else? Devoting our hearts to something else? For the Israelites, idols would be their gods. For the 21st century, for us, many things in our lives could be our idols. A theologian says, people nowadays can make idols out of almost anything. The desire of power, reason, nature, tradition, hobby, sports, and money. Incredible. We are so powerful, right? I think he is right. We can make idols from almost everything. That's our lives in this earth. We have many gods in our lives. The early Christians used to speak of the three-headed idol by quoting the Apostle John's warning against worldliness, which is 1 John verse 2 and 16. He said, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Even more, the Heidelberg Catechism says, idolatry is having or inventing something in which one trusts in place of or alongside of the only true God. That's what we are doing every day. Only true God who has revealed himself in his word. Basically, we can understand that idolatry means giving our hearts to something else, something other than God. God is giving a very basic, fundamental instruction to his people that this is very first. No other gods before me. Because God wants their hearts and your heart and my heart. Is your heart divided today? Or distracted? Or do we give our hearts only to the Lord or something else? Even we can ask this question, who is sitting in my heart today right now? Me or somebody else? Something else or God? The genuine God is in your heart or fake gods? The Israelites were not supposed to devote their hearts to idols. God said, Deuteronomy chapter 6, 4 and 6, very famous, famous verses, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts." God wanted the heart of his people. In the middle of many idols and temptations, the Israelites must have kept their hearts for the Lord. They had to protect their hearts from false gods, fake gods, and idols. That's the point of the first commandments that we read today. Not divided heart, undivided heart, but the whole, complete heart for the Lord. We can say the first commandments that we just read talks about keeping our hearts or focusing our hearts only on God, not something else. Everything in this world, as John says, the lust of the flesh for our bodies, the lust of the eyes to make a pleasure and happy, the pride of life would still your heart and my heart at any time. What makes your heart divided, destructive this morning? I believe that it could be anything in this world. Our hearts can be easily addicted to anything. It could be honor and money and food and business and hobby, sin and temptations, even ourselves. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that the world is bad and evil. We can definitely enjoy the beauty of God's creation. We can certainly enjoy God's blessings upon our lives every day. However, we must always be careful not to give our hearts to something else. Only Christ, only Lord. We must continually refocus our hearts on the Lord. Because why? God said, He is the true God. He is real God. He is genuine God, not something else. God is the true God. Then where is your heart today? What do you worship this morning? Probably it was not easy. It was easy for the Israelites to keep their hearts when everything was fine. Yes, this is very easy. Lord, praise you. Thank you for giving me everything. They praised God when Moses divided the Red Sea. Yes, incredible. We can walk through it. See, this is God. God, thank you. When they saw many miracles, and praise God. But unfortunately, when their faith easily drifted away, when their faces turned to something very difficult and challenges and sufferings, it made us really sorry, feel sorry to see their immature faith and shaking faith all the time. But to be honest with you, we see ourselves in the history of the Israelites, don't we? I am the one who is so happy when everything goes well. But yet I am the one who continually complain before the Lord. And how about you? I am the one who always happy to trust in God. But sometimes I'm the one who are holding some fake gods. We give our hearts to the Lord in good time. But how about bad time? People just cannot give their hearts to the Lord when they are suffering. Suffering is really hard. How can we worship only God when we are suffering? Well, the first commandment gives us actually the answer. In its explanation of the first commandment, the Heidelberg Catechism requires us to submit with all humility and patience to God alone. It says in Heidelberg Catechism 9 and 4 that I sincerely acknowledge the only true God, trust Him alone, look to Him for every good thing, humbly, patiently. Love Him, fear Him, honor Him with all my heart. Humbly and patiently. Many contemporary Christians insist that suffering does not here, including here, suffering does not come from God. They are saying that no. Therefore, we should resist all sufferings, whether looking all the blessings, good things happening. No, I don't think so. A theologian says, not acceptance, but rejection of suffering is the attitude recommended today that we see everywhere. People are looking for good things from the Lord, not bad things. Yes, we should ask for God's many blessings upon our lives, but at the same time, we must obey God as we bear every trouble and suffering as Jesus showed us, humbly, patiently. Humbly, patiently looking at, focusing on God, nothing else. That is the first commandment. We should not grumble against God and His plan on account of our pain. Rather, we trust God all the time that God will eventually help us in His right time, not my time. We must believe that God does everything. God rules everything, rule over everything. We should know that there is one God, one true God, one genuine God, only one God at the beginning, at the end of all things. Even in our sufferings, therefore, humbly and patiently waiting. Are we suffering today? Keep your heart. Keep your heart from things around you and humbly, patiently wait, even in our sufferings. The first commandment is also about a choice. It's not our choice for salvation, but it's our choice for obedience or disobedience to God. Choosing for the Lord always means making a choice that excludes every other possibility. Think that. Choosing for the Lord always means making a choice that excludes every other possibility. The choice for the Lord must be a radical choice. Not a second choice, not a third choice, but it must be a radical choice. That's why we call this the Ten Commandments. It's not a matter of, you know, both and or either or something else. We cannot choose for God. But at the same time, hang on to something else. When the Israelites arrived in the Promised Land, this is a very shocking moment for them. Joshua says to the Israelites in Joshua chapter 24, verse 14 and 15. This is the NIV version. Now fear the Lord and serve Him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your forefathers. So Joshua is retuning their hearts and fixing their hearts and focusing their hearts to the Lord. Throw away the gods, fake gods, your forefathers worshipped beyond the river and Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river or the gods of Amorites, in whose land you are living right now here. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Very strong. It must be our confession. Now Joshua clearly indicates that he and his household will choose God, not something else. He's not going to choose their forefathers, their ancestors, or their friends out there, but only God. Now Joshua asked the Israelites this question, who are you going to choose today, God or gods of others, fake gods? And let's hear what the Israelites responded to Joshua's invitation. Verse 16, chapter 24 and verse 16 through 18. Then the people, they were so happy, answered, far be it for us to be forsake the Lord to serve other gods. It was the Lord our God himself who brought us, and our fathers up to out of Egypt. They're going back to our text, Exodus chapter 20. Remember who brought you out of Egypt? God. Therefore, don't go. Come back to me. Israelites is saying like this. Yes, we remember. We will choose you. It was the Lord our God himself who brought us and our fathers up out of Egypt from that land of slavery and performed these great signs before our eyes. He protected us on our enemies' entire journey and among all the nations through which we traveled. He's the one always protecting. And the Lord drove out before us all the nations, including the Amorites who lived in the land. We too will serve the Lord because, very powerful, they say, because he is our God. They all said, we will choose the Lord, the true God. We will serve the Lord because he is our God. He is my God. If you imagine that Joshua is standing in front of you and talking to you, and he asks you and me the same question, who are you going to serve? The Lord God or something else? What would be your answer? Can you say, I love God. I love Jesus. Do you love God? Choosing for God means giving everything to love him. Again, Jesus answers the same question, the question about the most important commandment. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. Where is your heart today? Still following something fake or the true God? My mom lives in Detroit. And when I was in Detroit, I used to help her because she has a job like taking care of the babies, toddlers for some extra money. And this is a very interesting experience that I had. Whenever I visited my mom's, you know, somehow I had to take care of those little kids. I love kids. I wish you can tell. Anytime you give me kids, I'll make them hyper, and then I don't care. You go, Chavez, make them quiet. So some people don't like me. Don't give children to Pastor James. He'll make them hyper. My wife knows it. Whenever I visited my mom's house, somehow I had to take care of those little kids. So cute, and I love babies and toddlers and children, and I like to play with them. And you know what? They call me father. What? Little kids call me father. Well, I did not teach them to call me father or daddy. But they heard John and Grace, they were little too. They were, John and Grace called me father and daddy. Korean words saying, appa, that's father. So they just repeated after my children. Oh, they are calling him father. Maybe that's his name, father. Appa, appa. Well, actually, it didn't matter to me what they call me, daddy, mommy, or Superman, or... But I thought about this. What if my children, they go somewhere, John and Grace, call somebody street outside, call, hey, father! Appa! Who is our God? Do you have any, many, many other gods, many other things beside the true God? Do you call something else, Father? Oh yeah, you're good. Or the true God. Today is the Pentecost Sunday. The day that the Spirit of Jesus Christ came upon the disciples. The day that the Lord Jesus Christ came into their lives. The day that they gave their lives to Christ. Today is the Pentecost Sunday, the day that Jesus sent his Spirit to compel their hearts, their unawakened hearts for the Lord. Today is the Pentecost Sunday, the day that we worship our Lord, our God, our Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing else. We are here today. Nothing else but only Christ. Therefore, keep your heart for the Lord, the God of Almighty, not other gods, not other things, but the true God, not something else, only Christ, Christ alone. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for telling us your story on this Pentecost Sunday. Many times we just forget about what you say in the Bible. Would you please help us to bring our minds and hearts and souls and everything to you, so that our lives will be driven by the Holy Spirit, not something else. Driven by Jesus Christ, driven by the true God, the genuine God who created the world, this whole world. Help us to do that. We pray your Son in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.